The It's Time for Coffee podcast is powered by the Converge Podcast Network. Welcome to It's Time for Coffee. I'm Jeanette Tapley, your host and internet bestie. Here on It's Time for Coffee, we will help each other find joy, sisterhood, and lasting friendship. We are all about Bible-based love and teachings to help us grow into the friends we long to be and to nourish the relationships that we already have. Now, I'm not a theologian or a Bible scholar. I'm just your pal, Jeanette, here to help you and encourage you. Join me each week as we sit down with a friend to be encouraged and reminded that we are heard, valued, and never alone, no matter what season we find ourselves in. So grab your cup, fill it up, because friend, it's time for coffee. Hey, welcome back to It's Time for Coffee. I'm so excited that you're here. Today we are discussing a little bit of everything. We are talking with Ashley and Dino Patron about their new book, Designed to Last. Ashley, Dino, and I discuss moving out of their house, living in a camper trailer, and just the highs and lows of their story. It is so much fun to hear from them. I know that you are going to love their conversation, and their book is beautiful. Like, it's so pretty, but it's more than just a pretty book. It's full of their stories and wisdom, and I just loved getting to talk to them about it, and I just think you're going to enjoy meeting them. So, friend, grab your cup, fill it up with whatever you want, and let's dive in. Hey, y'all, I'm so excited to be sitting down with another married couple. I feel like we've gotten to have more married people on the show. I should do these with my husband. Jesse should be sitting in on these, like, married couple conversations with me, but he's not here. So it's just me, and we're sitting down with Dino and Ashley Patron, and we are talking about their story and their new book, Designed to Last, and I'm just so excited to get to know you guys. So hey, you guys, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks so much for having us.
This is so fun. We were talking. Oh, first, I need to know. I know you don't have your cups yet, but what is your cup coming in? Oh, it is. It's here now.
It's great. Literally it's coming here. In right now. That's I am perfect. Doing an oat milk latte. Thank
and now
you.
I got an Americano.
Ooh, very nice. Do you guys have like the fancy espresso machine?
We did just get one right around Christmas time.
Yeah, it's one of those like it auto grinds and does the water and puts out a perfect shot kind of thing all in one.
I love going out and getting coffee, but there's just really not a lot around us. So I was like, well, we got to get our own stuff here.
Yeah. We have the Breville Barista and it is my best friend. So
it is your best friend. Yeah. It's a little too convenient. Friend. Always there.
Right? Yes. Which is why I told you already, like I've had too much coffee already today.
I get it.
So that's good. Can you guys tell us just like a little bit about like who you are, what you do, and just like introduce yourself to us.
Yeah.
So we're Dino and Ashley. We're mostly on the social medias. Ash runs an Instagram account.
Yeah, I have an Instagram. It's called Arrows and Bow. Started about like 5-6 years ago. I lost track, but a few years ago, and really was just like a spot for me to share design things. I've always been a lover of like thrifting and garage sales and buying an old table and painting it. And so I just decided to start an Instagram and share those things. And then over the years, it just evolved into so much more, sharing so many more things and going way deeper into our lives than I ever thought I would. And that brings us here today.
That's awesome. What is your favorite room to design when you're like, when you are diving into a new project, what's your favorite room?
Well, I think, we've done a lot of projects over the years. And what I found that I really, really love is I love smaller spaces, like smaller homes. We lived in an RV for 17 months. That was so fun to design. It's just really fun to like get really creative with really tiny spots.
Mm-hmm. Do you have like a favorite, favorite accent or favorite anything that you like that's your go-to design? Like, what's your favorite?
Well, people that know us well and know me well know that I love paint like a lot. And I'm always thinking of like, what else can I stencil? Or I just like to think outside the box with design. I love using what I already have in the garage or what I have around the house. And so I'm always painting things. But I would say that people that know me also would say that I love black and white. Like I'm always painting something black and white or a black and white rug or a black and white accent. I just, it's always my go-to. It works into everything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they just don't go away. Like pops of colors, yeah. like different Classic. Brights and stuff will go, but that'll, yeah. that'll stay the same. Do you love or hate the farmhouse chic stuff? Like, do you have a preference?
It's not my particular style, but I can't say that I wasn't there once in my life. I've gone through all the styles. When we first got married, I was super young and we had just moved into Dino's parents' house. We were renting it. And it was like me just trying to find myself through design. So I cycled through, I mean, it was like week by week. I was shabby chic. I was like super modern. I went like through, I've done them all.
That's a good, when we first got married, I was eight. This is how young I was. I was 18 and a half. And that half really mattered to me. Yeah. And, we bought our first house like 6 months after we got married, and we painted that room. We painted our office, like our office, like blood red. It was the reddest of reds. Mm. And I think we had a red wall and a black wall. Like it was just like, we were like, yes. like in it, and we were really proud of it. And now I cringe. I'm like, that was not a good look.
We painted our first house. I swear. I mean, it was a big house and it was brown inside. Every yeah. wall we painted brown. Why? I don't know, but it just looked like a big poo house. It yeah. was like, yeah. why so much brown?
But I feel like, and I don't know when y'all, like when that was, but like back in the early 2000s and stuff, it was like the mossy dark homes yes. and I don't
brown
like
walls,
that anymore.
Brown carpet. Yeah, it was
the raw iron, like the yes. sconces. Oh, yeah.
totally.
Yeah. There's things that I wish that we could go back and like not do. But then I look and I'm like, well, we're going to be there again. Like, it's fine.
I
like,
know.
We're just going to cycle.
We're gonna look
back
at ourselves
over.
And be like, are you really wearing a crop top at 36, Ashley? Why did you do that? You know,
you know what? I say if you can wear them and you feel great, then wear them. Great.
Just That's do cool. it. Yeah.
I did just have to take away crop tops from my daughter. I was like, okay, well, yeah, this is going to be a punishment. We're going to take this away. Yeah. Tell me, you guys got married and you got engaged and married very quickly. And I want to hear this story. So tell us just a little bit about like your like dating and then marriage story.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Ash and I, our parents knew each other when we were very young. And then we have a 4-year age discrepancy, right? So I'm 4 years older than Ash. And I left home when I was 17. So like Ash was 13 when I had last seen her at that time. And then our parents kind of reintroduced us back together when I was 24 and Ash was 20. They kind of schemed to kind of get us together.
Oh, yeah. They love telling that story too. We set our kids up. It's all us. Yeah.
Yeah. So we met and instantly were very like had to be with one another. We were together 24/7 for 3 weeks straight and just were obsessed with one another. And just from there, we like checked in with our friends, checked in with our family. And we were like, look, I'm all in, Ash is all in. Like we want to move forward. And everybody was all thumbs up.
Like, yeah. Everyone was like praying about it. And so it was just like, it was really fast, but yeah. it was like, it wasn't like we were total strangers before, you know, right, we like knew our right. families and yeah. stuff like that. So, you never know. It can happen quick, I guess. Cause now we're coming up to 16 years and.
So yeah, we dated 3 weeks and then we were engaged and then we were engaged for 4 months and then we were married.
That's so crazy. I love that. The first like quote unquote date that Jesse and I went on, we worked together, but he also was dating my best friend, but my best friend kept breaking up with him because she's like, you're not the guy I'm gonna marry, I don't want to date you. And my boyfriend had just broken up with me because I wouldn't have sex with him. And so we were both just kind of like single and hanging out and working together, and we became really good friends. And so the first night we like hung out together, we were like, well, if we get married, we'll name our first son Ezekiel. And like we just like hung out, and then we were engaged 2 months later.
Like, oh, I love
it. You went quick too.
Yeah. Also, I was a senior in high school, so that's a weird Whoa. Look.
That's yeah. awesome.
Wait, you were married as a senior in high school?
Well, we were engaged. I was engaged my entire senior year, and so we were engaged for like just over a year. Because of just life, and so we were engaged for over a year, but we were engaged after 2 months of like dating.
Wow.
Dang, that's intense. As a
that's
child,
so cool.
my There's times I look at my big kids. I have a 15-year-old, and I'm like, absolutely not. You are not allowed to make life choices this young. No.
I know, right?
I know.
And then they're like, you and Dad. I'm like,
dude, yeah, that's a special circumstance.
Yeah, I don't know. There's part of me like loves that like getting married young situation, if I'm being honest. Because I look at it now, if I'm about to hit 40, I'm like, that's insane. No 20-year-old should ever, they do not have the capability to make like life-changing decisions, you know? Or like, but at the same time, Ash and I grew into who we are today.
Together.
We like grew up together. We like had an opportunity to mold into that same person. And I'm sure like same kind of happened with you going through like 18 to 25. Like those are super formative years. And if you lean into them and allow God to like mold who you each are and who you are together, I feel like it's just a very beautiful thing that it turns out to be.
Yeah. Whenever we get to talk to young married people, we always say like the work is one, staying unified, and two, growing up together. Like growing together is great, but actively growing up together and chasing the same kind of hobbies and stuff like that is one of our most intentional things that we've done. And there's been times where we failed, and there's been times that we've done a great job. And so it's different. It's really different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sure.
I was reading through your book, and you guys have a story about your yes being your yes. And so I would love just to hear a little bit about the story, because I was like reading it and it just it really resonated with me. And I can pull it up if you want, but if you know the story, you wrote it.
Yeah.
I'm assuming you know the story. But I would just love to hear a little bit about it.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Who said yes to
who,
what?
Who said yes? Yeah.
So this is actually, this is kind of a fun one. So I was working for a company and I wasn't super happy with it. And there was a work buddy at the time who him and I were very, very close. And the two of us said, hey, let's go and interview for this other kind of this other company. It was Netflix. And which is super prestigious. I'm a software engineer. It's like really, really, really hard to get into Netflix. They only hire like the top talent kind of thing. So we went and interviewed and we said, hey, the deal is that like we don't want to split up. If one of us gets it, then great. If we both get it, then great. Let's go do it. But if only one of us gets it, like, let's just kick it where we're at.
Also, you had made a commitment, like somewhat of a commitment to the job that you were at, to like finish things out. Like they were trying to sell their company. And so, you know, it wasn't like you like said, like, for sure you were going to stay, but you also didn't want to leave people high and dry.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Quick version of the stories. We went, we interviewed, and I got the offer, and Adam did not get the offer, which was actually insane. I really didn't see that coming. Actually, being honest, thought it was going to be the opposite because he's significantly smarter than I, but it was the way it worked out. I got the offer and he didn't. And Ash and I were like on a walk one day a couple days after I got the offer, trying to be like, all right, what the heck are we going to do here?
I had just read in my Bible that morning, that verse, like your yes, yes. And so anyways, on the walk, like we were talking about it and I just was like, do what you want with this. But I did read this, like, I'm going to support you in whatever decision you make. But I did just read this, like, what do you think?
Yeah.
And it was like, instantly you were just like,
that's it.
Yeah, that's it. We're not going to do it. Yeah. Like he had made a commitment and made like, a commitment to this guy, and he didn't want to break that. And so we wanted to be, you wanted to be just a man of integrity. Yeah,
just be honorable and, doing what I say I'm
gonna do. I loved it too. You said it wasn't just about the next job. It was about being a man of character, and it was like holding true to your word. And I thought that was so neat, because so often we're always just, I don't want to say we, the American way is to chase the next big thing and to chase and to kind of like, well, they'll understand because this is a great opportunity. So obviously I should do this. But for you to stand firm in your character and say like, I'm going to finish this out. How did was there any like reward in finishing that out? Or was there any like, I guess, how did you feel finishing it out? And then what was the next stage?
Yeah. Ironically, that if we would have went and done that, who knows what our life would have been like. But because we didn't go do that, we ended up selling everything that we own, moving into a trailer, buying land and trying to do that, which lost us an insane amount of money. But it actually, like in hindsight, it launched Ash's Instagram stuff big time. Like it allowed us to basically create this whole other ministry and like business and life that kind of like came out of that.
The book, all the things we've done since then, I don't think would have, I mean, obviously God, it would do, he'd make anything happen, but like it definitely put us down a different path that led us to where we are now. That like, I don't know if we would have gone to Netflix at that point if we would have done any of those things. Yeah. Like, why would we? Because we'd be super comfortable with like a cush job, and why would we move into a trailer? So,
and the trailer was like the best years of our marriage. Yeah. Like, it was transformative. It totally changed who Ash and I both were. So, like, it's kind of crazy, like, looking back and seeing one little decision to be honorable, God rewarded it so much. In like so many different ways throughout that whole path that we went down.
This show is part of the Converge Podcast Network and is sponsored in part by
Hey, are you a working mom? Do you know someone who's a working mom? Do you feel stuck and just kind of lonely as you are doing all the things that working moms do? Because let me let you in on a little secret. All moms are working moms. I want to invite you to come over to the Moms at Work podcast with me, your host over here and over there, to listen to some conversations. We're talking about the Proverbs 31 woman. We are talking about shame and grace and tips for how to do summer well this year with our kids and with our jobs. We also just talked about guilt and are you really guilty? I hope that you'll go check it out. It's my new podcast called Moms at Work that I get to host with the Christian Parenting Network. Go check it out. You can just search my name, Jeanette Tapley, in your favorite podcast player and be sure to follow along. It's a great time over there, just like it is over here. So I hope that you will listen in. I can't wait to see you there. Okay, now back to today's episode. Okay, let's talk about living in a trailer, because I told you guys before we hit record that my husband is constantly trying to sell our house to live in a trailer. And I'm constantly saying no. No. Or I will say not right now. And until the Lord shows up in a burning bush moment, we'll figure it out. But I did remind him, I was like, hey, everything that I do for work is audio based. Like, trailers are not great for audio, sir.
No. Not at all.
So tell me what, one, when you move into a trailer, you significantly downsize your life. Like, there's just no way around it. Unless you have even putting stuff in storage, you still have to downsize. So what was that like? And then I want to hear just about, like you said, it was the best years of your marriage. We experienced something like that in our life when we moved to Texas. But I just want to hear, like, how did it, like, what was this like downsizing, moving in with three kids into what kind of trailer was it? That's the kind of nerd I am. Like, what kind of trailer did you have? Because we have a cool one too.
Yeah.
Ours was not cool.
This was not cool.
Ours was very old. It had blue carpet and a curtains.
Giant cougar on the side of it.
Yeah.
Like,
it was a 2003 Cougar Keystone or Keystone Cougar. And it was a hot mess. But our goal was just like to make it feel like home. We had intended on building a home on this land that we had bought. Sold our big house, everything inside of it, basically, besides a few things we put into a storage unit. And then I was just really intentional about making this trailer feel like home and giving it as much space as we could for our three littles. And so we ripped out everything. And like, I bought like an IKEA table and little stools and an IKEA sofa and painted the whole thing and just made it feel like a house. Like, we had, everybody had one plate, you had one towel, one set of sheets. Like, we had nothing extra. Our closet, like, each of us had like, you know, a little, well, just Dino and I had one by the side of our bed. It was like 12 inches wide. That's as many shirts as you got. Like, that's it. For us being super young and having a whole bunch of kids and, you know, me not really knowing who I was or where my identity was, what it was based off of. I just was like grabbing from things from the world, like material things and the things that I bought, the friends that I hung out with. Dino loved playing video games like too much at that point that like this was just such an amazing opportunity for us to strip away everything in our lives and just completely bond us together and like bond us closer with God. We just had nothing else but to just lean on him. And it was amazing.
Yeah. What did y'all learn about your identities in that time? Because I can only imagine, like you said, you were stripping everything off. So what did you like fill that with? Like, I mean, I think I know the answer, but like, how did you replace that, that void?
Yeah. I mean, like it's a forcing function, right? Like you had to find something else, right? We have almost no cell reception, no real internet. We have no possessions at the time, no video games to go escape into, no TV. Like it strips you away. It's like a fasting from a lot of things, right? Materialism, you know, distractions, et cetera. And when you're in a fast like that, or when you're in a state where you're reduced, you know, your distractions are reduced, you fill it with all the things that you like that are naturally good. Like, at least for us, we chose good things, more time together as one-on-one, more time together as a family.
Doing experiences instead of filling, like buying more things, like
we bless our friends where it's like, well, we have to do laundry and we're not just going to sit here. Let's go watch our friends' kids and let them go on a date night. So it was just like very fulfilling to try and like lean into the discomfort and then find the joy in it instead of, I mean, we have known people who have said, hey, we tried it and we hated doing the trailer thing because, I mean, they very likely didn't lean into, it's not for everybody to be fair, but they probably didn't lean into finding the joy in those things. And they just basically had a harder, like the hard things are the ones that swallowed over them. And that's easy to do when you're in a difficult situation.
Yeah. I do think that God was just like dying for our attention. Like he just wanted our attention. And so this for us, this is what we needed to be in. We needed to be stripped away from everything. And then we were like able to just see him and desire him more. So I really feel like he like had us in that position, particularly for us. And we just happened to have a very open mind of intentionality to seek after him through it. Cause you could do it. And we could have just as easily been like, I hate this, it's annoying. And not like we didn't have those moments, but like you could just be miserable through the whole thing and fight and argue and not work through problems. And, you know, like you can, there's lots of different paths you can take, but we really leaned into like, what is God teaching us? And the more that he revealed things to us and taught us, the more we were like, this is really amazing. Like how we're growing, what we're learning, what he's doing in us. Like we want more of that. Let's do more of that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's so good. How are you guys leaning into that now? Because now life is kind of normal again and life is busy, especially with three kids and everything. And launching, like, I mean, life is allowed. And so how are you guys leaning into that now?
Yeah, it's interesting. Like God has continuously shown us that we are not defined by our living situation or our possessions. So like coming out of the trailer, going into the trailer, we sold everything we had and moved into the trailer. Like it was all gone. And then out of the trailer, we moved into a small house, like 1200 square feet, like 3-bedroom, 1-bath. And we sold that place with everything in it. Literally everything was gone again. And God's like, hey, let's reset again. So we had nothing. It was just the clothes that we owned. Like they took our beds even. And then it happened again at the next house. We bought a house. We like, you know, designed it and made it this beautiful place. And then the people came in and they want it all at the same time. So that's all.
Again, even the bed that I had our baby in.
You're like, all right, whatever. Do you ever feel like God's like, do you guys get it yet?
I know. Well, the thing is that I love it. I love it so much because it's like for years we were just dragging this baggage behind us constantly. And it's just like, we like let it go. So of course, it's like, it's fun. I love designing things. Who doesn't love to get like a new handbag? But I just as much love like giving it away as much, you know, it's just as rewarding to me to know. And so through the years, we've just continued to set of like an open hand, like whether we're in a big house, in a small house, whatever we're doing, like pursuing like a new business venture, like this sounds amazing. This is what we would love. Like, do you want this, Lord, though? Because if you don't want it, we don't want it. You don't want us to have this anymore. We don't want it. So we just try to keep that mindset of an open hand.
So good. For a very long time, and I still am pretty much like this, I would, my husband holds on to things. Like he's like kind of the hoarder in our marriage where he just like hangs on to everything. and I will go through stuff and I'm like giving everything away. And he's like, why did you give that away? I'm like, we haven't used it in like a month. I'm getting rid of it. And he's like, I might need that. And I was like, well, then buy another one. Like, I just like, we're clearing stuff out. And he's like, okay, well, don't, there's some things you just can't give away. So I'm like, go.
Yeah.
I would love to know what do your kids remember about living in the camper? Like what, like, do they recall it fondly? Like what are their thoughts?
Yeah.
They look back on it. They were very young.
They were such a sweet age.
Four, seven and eight maybe. But they still really enjoyed that time. Mm-hmm. They remember all of the crazy things, helping dad like dump the poop tanks and chasing bugs and playing on we lived on land. We had like 2 acres of land that we were trying to build a house on at the time. They remember like being able to play on the land and being forced out of the trailer to go play outside and, you know, like the things that kids should remember at that age, just adventure.
They were kind of forced into like bonding with one another. So they're so tight. Like at first, it was really difficult to have them sleep apart because they were so used to sleeping in their three bunks together. So it was really, really good for them. If you ask any of them, like, I'm sure there was like little things like, oh man, like, yeah, I don't know. Remember when we had to do the poop, you know, like they'd say that, but they actually frequently bring it up and it was great for all of us. And we did so many fun things because we weren't spending money on a mortgage and, you know, we were able to save so much. We did allow ourselves a certain amount of funds to be able to experience things together. Cause before then, being married for 8 years, we weren't doing really anything like that. We were very just like, kind of boring.
Yeah, we were trying to grind too and save everything that we had, and I was very into that.
Yeah, Dino was like way on the extreme of that side, and I was way on the like, let's just go have fun, you know?
Yeah.
So it was a good, we needed to balance that out.
Yeah, and it's hard. It's hard when you are creating a life and building a family and the fear of what could happen or what, like losing it all or anything like that. Yeah. Like you never know, but it's like we have those conversations often where like we switch roles, Jesse and I, where I'm like, let's go party. And he's like, we cannot go on another vacation. We have to be wise. I'm like, like, you're no fun. And then there's times where I'm like, do we have enough money for this? Where are we at? How's our retirement? I'm like, we have kids looking at college soon. Like, what are we doing? And I'm like, and then I'm like, let's just go to Disney World. I can't. It's too many adult things. I can't do it anymore. Okay. So I told you a little bit before, I love asking this question because we live our books first and then we write them and then God counsels us like yet again. There's so many times where I've been like, no, God, we dealt with that in actual counseling. I don't want to talk about it anymore. And so was there moments of like keyboard counseling as you wrote your story after living your story? Was there moments that God was like, hey, let's talk about this again?
Mm. Oh, absolutely. Ash and I always joke around about how it was like therapy, and we would have paid money to be able to write the book, you know, because it was just such so eye opening to be able to go back and like look at all the lessons God's taught us and be able to share all of that. And then the book was broken up into three major sections, and each section has like pictures or commonality from like this section to this section to this other section of our lives. It's like, oh, God was basically planting a seed here and then watering it here and then watching it grow over here, right? Like it was a very, very cool experience.
Yeah, we had many a days of like crying because I would write the major chunk of the book first, which was like the story, and then Dino would go in after me, read my part, and then I'd read it right afterwards, and we'd both be like, oh my God, you know, like just crying through it all and then talking about it. So it was, God was totally working through us as we were writing it. It was pretty cool experience.
How was it seeing each other's like perspectives? Like, was there a time where you were like, oh, I didn't know you felt that way, or I didn't know you were thinking this?
I think for me, going through and reading Dino's response to things, there weren't things that I didn't know, but the way that he described them and wrote them was like very moving. If you read the book, like I feel like I'm very like jovial and fun, and there's some depth in mine as well, but his is like, he has just these like really just like pictures with his words that really just dove in deeper to those situations. So that was really cool for me to see like, whoa, like you were sitting in the car and like God showed you like a crossroads, like you go this way or that way. Like, I know that we had this conversation about you making that decision, but like, I didn't know the depth of it. So that was really cool.
Yeah, that's really neat. Is there anything else that y'all want to tell us about the book? Like, is there just like, did I miss anything?
Yeah, I'd just say that like, there's probably a big perspective that like our book is very like design heavy and like a nice, beautiful thing. And it is, it's like beautiful to put out on your table.
It was so pretty.
But the underlying message that Asha and I really wanted to convey underneath it is definitely something that I think is would be impactful for people's lives. We're really proud of what we've written and its ability to be consumed by people where they can really get something out of it, not just like see mm-hmm. something beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, my desire for it was like for it to be our story, and like the book is our story. It's a show don't tell book. So I feel like anybody could relate to it, whether you're a believer or an atheist or a single person or married, like it doesn't matter because you can pull from like anything. Like I feel like God used us to write this book, but he could have picked anybody to write this book. We're not special. Mm-hmm. Like he just really had this specific story to tell. And it's just like, how did all these things happen to like one couple? I don't know. It's just a lot, but it's so great because anybody can take from any of those things and yeah, apply it to their lives.
I love it because I think like as I was reading it and looking at it, it's so interesting because it is both your perspectives and then it's like heavy on scripture and then it's heavy on tips and tricks. And it's just, it's like, it's so good. It's like all encompassing. Like I thoroughly enjoyed like reading it. And as I read more, I'm like, man, it's a solid picture into your story. And then it's also like, oh, and hey, if you want to try this, do that. It's like, cool. Thanks.
Well, I mean, there was just no way to separate the design from the story because if you read it all, like God just like had that design intertwined in me, in our story. Like it just goes with everything. So it was cool to add the at home with Ashley at the end of each chapter and like whatever mm-hmm. season of life we were in to pull. There was just so many things from that really applied to the design side. So it's part of our story. And yeah, it's a random marriage design book, but it works.
It works and is going to help people. And that's the best part about our stories is that they help people in the craziest ways.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. The last question I always ask, which is so fun, and I am excited to hear your guys' answer, is what is it time for in your own lives right now? Like what season are you guys walking through? What is going on and what is to be expected?
Mm. Yeah, we just came out of like a year of absolute chaos and trial, right? Like we moved from California to Florida and we launched a book and we built an inn and like got all that done. And I feel like God's just giving us two things. One is just a little bit of a break from like insanity. Like our lives for the last like 8 years, it's just been like back to back to back of like chaos.
We also have a new baby.
Yeah. So God's just almost like giving us just a moment to be able to enjoy some of the things that we've really worked hard for and like Ash said, enjoy the time with the new baby and things like that. But also he's kind of stirring up in both of us some of the things that are going to go on in the next phase. There's definitely some big things that are about to come down the pipe for us. And it's really exciting. And he's putting in our hearts like this, like these dreams of like, hey, what if we did this? And what if we did that? And it's a very like, be quiet, rest, and listen. Like what's, mm-hmm. I have something for you guys, but you need to open your ears to see what it's going to be kind of thing.
Yeah. Hmm.
That's exciting. I'm excited. That's always fun. Yeah. I'm always a little, whenever Jesse says that, I'm always like, I'm the dreamer. I'm selfish. They'll let me just call a spade a spade. I'm selfish. And I'm like, my dreams are awesome. Let's chase my dreams. And when Jesse has a big dream, I'm like, that's too big. That's too much or it's too scary. My dreams are safer. So I'm going to have coffee with him today and be like, I'm sorry. Let's dream. So
Let's dream together. Yeah. I love it.
You guys, thank you so much for joining us for coffee. Thanks for hanging out and for sharing your stories with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having us. I'm glad we were able to grab a cup of coffee while we were doing this.
Okay, I loved hanging out with Ashley and Dino. I thought they were so much fun. Be sure to follow them over at Arrows and Bow on Instagram and thank them for having coffee with us. Thank them for hanging out and sharing their story and time with us. It was just really fun to get to know them. So be sure to do that. Be sure to grab their book. It'll be linked in the description below. And I'll see you here next week when it's time for coffee. Bye, friend. Thank you so much for joining us for coffee today. I'm so excited that you made time in your busy schedule to have coffee with me and my guest. If you want to connect on a deeper level, I hope that you will join our email community. The email community is a great way for us just to connect on a little bit deeper level. It's a place for us to email back and forth, to correspond about all things, and I hope that you will join us there. To make sure you never miss an episode, make sure you're following It's Time for Coffee podcast on your favorite podcast player. That way, each week when a new episode comes out, it'll pop right up in your queue and it'll be ready for you to listen to. And if you love today's episode, I would love for you to leave us a rating or review on your favorite player. You can just do that by hitting those stars or commenting about what you love about the episode. It makes my day and I read every single one of them. And I love hearing how we can meet you right where you're at. So thanks for doing that. And if you haven't already, go do it for me. I would appreciate it. Okay, friend, I'll see you next week when it's time for coffee.